O God, may your word be spoken, and may your word be heard. This week in Edmund's notes, Father George warned us of the schizophrenic theme of Palm Sunday. We began this morning's service by welcoming Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, suddenly, we stand at the foot of his cross, oppressed by the weight of human sin, by our own frailty and faithlessness. This sudden reversal is schizophrenic indeed. It is so difficult for us on Palm Sunday to remain here as witnesses while our Lord suffers death on the cross. But since we've made it this far, let's do what we can to understand this suffering of Jesus and our own suffering, so that our uncomfortable time here at the foot of the cross may be redeemed, and so that by God's grace, our suffering may be redeemed. It's not only our personal suffering which besets us. This week we suffer with victims and relatives of the high school campus stabbings near Pittsburgh. And nearer to us with the families of those college-bound students killed and injured in a fiery freeway crash. We've all followed the story of the shocking story of the Malaysian passenger flight that has disappeared on its way to Beijing. For a while, we imagined it had been hijacked and landed safely in some secret spot. But lately, the black box signals indicate that it did indeed crash into the sea. Now the question becomes, who's responsible for those passenger deaths? If it's human error, then the airline will be sued. If it's an equipment failure, then the aircraft manufacturer will be sued. There will be suits and settlements, because it is now established in international law that air safety is more than a privilege, it's a right. No one, neither crash victims nor surviving relatives, should have to suffer that way. And if we do suffer, we should be compensated for suffering. Somebody should pay. In fact, international law precedents provide a formula for reparation to the families of air crash casualties. It works out to $147,000 per victim. In the developed world, victims of sexual abuse or police brutality can also expect financial compensation. I don't condemn reparations payments, which may alleviate suffering. But let us note that those payments signal an inadequate and distorted measure of human worth. What a different understanding of suffering we find here in the Passion Gospel. On Palm Sunday, we enter into the suffering of our Lord Jesus in the last week of his life. This is suffering of the most awful kinds. Ignorant insults from sometime followers, physical abuse from authorities charged to bring justice, finally, death by torture. Suffering is inflicted here upon Jesus in very banal and ignorant ways, the very ways in which people suffer from genocide and war and natural disaster in much of the world today. What is distinctive here in Holy Week is the sufferer himself, Jesus. In his suffering, Jesus is not beyond pain, but he is beyond the fear of death, beyond recrimination, beyond blame, beyond concern about the end of his own life. In prayer with his Heavenly Father, Jesus copes with his fears of death. When he's no longer paralyzed by those fears, when he trusts God to strengthen him while he suffers, then the presence and power of God shines through his suffering and redeems us all. This is Jesus' redemptive suffering. Here in his last painful days, indeed in his last moments, instead of drawing attention to himself, Jesus continues to look outward, concentrating on his friends, concentrating on the needs and hopes of humanity, which he loves with the surpassing love of his Father. This positive energy, directed out in love for the world near and dear to him, and also for the world which hates him and hurts him, makes Jesus' suffering remarkable. And that's why we call his redemptive suffering his passion. There is spiritual help for us when we suffer. It's the same help Jesus called on while he suffered. From our first lesson this morning, that help includes the witness of the remarkable servant who summons God to stand with him in his suffering. The servant says, "I gave my back to those who struck me. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near." These words are those of Isaiah's suffering servant, who calls on God in prayer to stay close to him in his suffering. He finds that in prayer, God is near him, which calms his fears and strengthens him to face whatever is coming. Redemptive suffering strengthens him for ministry, helps him to focus outward on the needs of others, draws his attention from his immediate torment to the God who both gives him courage to endure suffering and also helps him to face outward in love and care for others. Jesus is a student of Isaiah, and from the example of Isaiah's servant, Jesus is learning to suffer redemptively. We have the remarkable record of the two American founding fathers discovering for themselves this very source of strength. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, in their heyday, were political opponents and rivals for the presidency. But later in life, as they declined, Jefferson in Virginia and Adams in Massachusetts opened a correspondence which blossomed into a marvelous friendship. They had each suffered a loss of health and the loss of dear family and friends through death. And in their grief, they reached out to one another. Thomas Jefferson wrote this to John Adams: "I've often wondered for what good end the sensation of grief could be intended. All other passions, whether within proper bounds, have a useful object. I wish the pathologists then would tell us what is the use of grief in the economy." John Adams wrote right back, "Grief drives men into habits of serious reflection, sharpens the understanding, and softens the heart, to elevate them to a superiority over all human events. In short, to make them Stoics and Christians." John Adams wasn't even an Episcopalian. He was a Congregationalist. But here is the wisdom of the ages, delivered by a clear-minded Christian who understood that while suffering is a natural part of the human condition, redemptive suffering is supernatural. Let us pray. O God, as we gather here at the foot of the cross, draw near to us and sustain us that we may be present with our Lord in his passion. Strengthen us when we suffer, that we may find you mighty to save. Help us always to cast our care on you and to reach out in love and concern for others. This week, grant us to walk faithfully in the way of Jesus' suffering, that we may also come to share in his glorious resurrection. Amen.